This weekend started, and it starts now, probably one of the busier times of our life. I have three boys now this year playing baseball. I have five different teams because the two older boys are each playing on two teams, and the younger one just starts as well. But I want them to know something. Church, the house of God, and the things of God are still more important. Both of my boys had a game this morning. I told both of their coaches they won't be there. You know why? Because I want my boys to know that this is the most important thing in their life. I had the parents begging, "We'll pick your son up. We need him to play Sunday." Sorry. He'll be there as soon as it's over. But they need to know there's something more important. You know what else I want them to know? I cheer for them when they're playing. I scream their name. I tell them to go. I clap for them. I get excited when they do something good. But you know what else I want them to know? I get more excited about God. I want them to know that. I want them to understand that. Hit me. I don't know why I was standing over there and just kind of struck me. The Bible does teach us train up a child in the way he should go. Teach them. Show them. If the things of God are important, show them it's important.
Amen. That's right.
Sorry, I'll get off that. Luke chapter 11 and verse 2. And he said unto them, when ye pray. I mean, know you're supposed to pray? Amen. Don't worry, I'll get rolling here in a second. Brother Galati, it's good to see you.
Praise God.
When you pray, that means as often as you do it. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't do it, but every now and then. It's something we should be doing all the time. But he says, when you do, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Anyone ever heard this passage before? Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. This is where it's at. Everybody say, as in heaven.
As in heaven.
So in earth.
So.
Say that with me again. As in heaven. There are some things, the Bible says, thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. There is a whole lot that is established already in heaven. And the Bible says, it's not teaching us here that I'm supposed to go through a ritual, that I'm just supposed to quote this passage and just say it because it's just something I say is a ritual. No, but I do need to pray, and I do need to say, you know what, I have a Father in heaven. I have a Father in heaven that's greater than any father that has ever been on this earth, who loves me and cares about me and who wants to see good in my life. And you know what? I'm going to go from that feeling of recognizing that I have the greatest Father in heaven. And then all of a sudden something begins to move through me and I begin to say, Hallowed be thy name. I just begin, something inside of me just wants to worship him, just wants to thank him because he's good.
Amen.
Hallowed be thy name. And then I start to pray. Something inside of me wants to say, you know, I want your kingdom to come here on earth. I don't know. There's just something inside of me that when I'm praying, I want to feel the kingdom of heaven, the power and the glory touching me. I don't know if you're ready for me this morning. Thy will be done. In other words, what you want in my life, I want that too. Not just what I want, not the job I want, not the things I want, not the stuff I want, but God, what you want for my life, that's what I want. It's not a ritual, it's a heart. As in heaven. In other words, his will, which is in heaven, he says, as in heaven, bring it down here. As in heaven, let it be established in earth. I'm going to try to get through this. I can tell already I'm feeling the preaching spirit. I'm going to talk to us today about this subject, stepping into heaven's atmosphere. Stepping into heaven's atmosphere. Too often we wallow around in earth's atmosphere. We wallow around. Oh, I'm going to try to hurry. I'm going to try to get this going. Jesus, I need your help right now. God, I feel it burning on the inside of me. And God, I pray that you will help me, Lord, to refrain from saying that which you don't want me to say and to say everything that you want me to say. Lord, I ask for boldness right now to be able to preach it, Lord, how I feel it and how I know you want me to say it. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would speak through me and touch someone right now. God, as they hear these words, that they'll recognize this is your words. These are your words from heaven. And God, I pray, Lord, that they would touch us and move us and change us and make us. And Lord, help us, Lord, increase our faith. Help us to see beyond what we see with our physical eyes. And help us, Lord, to walk beyond where we walk in our natural self. But God, I pray that we would walk in the Spirit as you lead us and as you guide us. Lord, anoint me right now. Let your anointing cover me and help me in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Stepping into heaven's atmosphere. In Matthew chapter 17 and in Mark chapter 9, there was a boy who was bound by a devil. The Bible records that this boy would foam at the mouth. He would grate or grind his teeth together as an expression of hatred towards those around him and even his own parents. He would fall to the ground and curl up in the fetal position, and he would wallow there on the ground. But it didn't stop there. He also kept trying to kill himself. He would be walking along the road. I can just see him with his father, and there would be a fire there, or there would be cooking at home, and the fire would be lit, and he would try to throw himself into the fire. He would be walking by the lake, maybe the Sea of Galilee, maybe the Mediterranean, maybe the Jordan River, maybe just a pool, maybe Siloam or some other place, and he would be walking along, and he would try to throw himself into the water. He wasn't trying to swim. He was trying to kill himself. And it was in this moment that his father so much afraid that he would one day succeed. He takes his boy and he takes them to the disciples of Christ. The disciples try to cast out the devils. And I think some of you have already picked up the story. They try to cast these devils out, but they couldn't. For whatever reason, it didn't seem to work. For whatever reason, what they thought was going to take place never did. And the boy was just as bound before as he was afterwards. It was at this moment that I made an amazing discovery. See, you got to understand how I study the Bible. I believe the Bible is a gold mine full of nuggets. And when I read it and when I study it, I just come across them and I think, I just struck gold. So when I say I made an amazing discovery, I'm not saying that at all in a bad way. I'm saying I was so excited when I saw this. Because I want you to notice who shows up at this moment into this dilemma of them not being able to cast out this devil. There came into existence two forces. Two forces showed up at this moment. And I believe today that it is these same two forces that will show up in every dilemma, with every sickness. There are two forces that want to show up. The Bible says in Mark chapter 9 and verse 14, and when he came to his disciples, that is speaking of Jesus. Notice who shows up. Jesus shows up. He saw a great multitude about them. And, everybody say and. The scribes questioning with them. I want you to notice that into this moment came not only Jesus, but into this moment came the scribes. They were supposed to be the religious leaders. They were supposed to be the ones who had it all together. They were supposed to be the ones who knew the word of God. If there was a group who knew the word of God, it would have been the scribes. And they showed up into this moment. But understand, they were not coming to offer support. They were not coming just to talk about scriptures. But I'm here to tell you that this group was part of the original Antichrist. This group, the scribes, were part of the original opposed Christ. That's all anti means. It simply means there has always been a force on this earth. You have Christ, the God force, and then you have the Antichrist, the anti-God force that would like to come against and oppose everything that is God or everything that is of God. And into this moment came the scribes, the original Antichrist. And it was this group that opposed Jesus at every chance they got. They wanted, just like they tried today, to discredit him, to disapprove him, and to ultimately get rid of him. It's the same thing that's going on in 2014. The Antichrist is still trying to discredit who we call our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They're still trying to disprove him, and they still want to get rid of him. You don't believe me? Look at your schools. You don't believe me? Look at your government buildings. You don't believe me? Look at the homes today. They are trying to... They are trying to disprove, discredit, and get rid of. And so here they are at this moment. I want you to see this. The Bible says that they are here questioning them. They were questioning the disciples. In other words, why couldn't you cast him out? I thought you all had this power from Jesus. I thought this Jesus of yours gave you the power to do miracles. I thought that you were able. Hey, don't this Jesus do miracles? Doesn't he cast out devils? Why couldn't you do it? I thought this Jesus gave you power. I thought he gave you miraculous ability. I thought this Jesus could do anything. What happened? I can just see them as they're standing there and they're gloating. Much like those who like to disprove the power of Jesus. And when a miracle doesn't happen, they'll sit there, see, he don't really heal. Oh, see, what's wrong with this generation? Why ain't he healing now? What happened today? And smug. I'm here to tell you that same attitude was there. I can just see them gloating. I can see them there smugly. And yet, in this same moment, that Jesus, the creator of the universe and the great I am, came by. The Bible says, while this was happening, Jesus came by. Into this moment of doubt, into this moment of unbelief, into this moment where it appeared that the enemy was getting the better hand, Jesus shows up. I want you to understand this morning that present in every dilemma, in every problem, in every circumstance, and every sickness are these same two opposing forces. There are the forces that oppose Jesus and everything he is able to do. And then there is the great God of the universe. The question right now becomes, what atmosphere am I going to step into? I could say it even be bold today. Into this church are two opposing forces. There is one force that says, you know what? Miracles ain't going to happen here. People aren't going to get filled with the Holy Ghost here. And a service goes by and something doesn't happen. See, I told you so. The Spirit would like to say, but what atmosphere do I choose to step into? I'm going to tell you what atmosphere I want to step into. I'm not going to step into that atmosphere. I want to step into heaven's atmosphere. Let me just define this just for a moment. What an atmosphere is, and unless you think I'm crazy. An atmosphere is the air or the climate in a particular place. It is the environment, an intervening substance through which a force acts or an effect is produced. It is the element that is the natural habitat of an organism. And I just ask one question. Which habitat do you live in? The Bible, let me teach for this a minute. The Bible says don't walk after the flesh, but walk after the Spirit. There are two atmospheres. which I can choose to be the habitat that I choose to walk in. If I could sum it up in two words, it is the surrounding influence. Your atmosphere is simply your surrounding influence. What is it that's influencing your life? Here it is. You have a choice. I have a choice as to which atmosphere we step into. In other words, which force is going to affect me? Which force is going to intervene in my life? Which force is going to become my natural habitat? Which force is going to become the surrounding influence in my life? And I'm here to tell every one of us here today that it was at this moment, it was here that this father had a choice to make. Do I stand here with the multitudes? And do I stand here with the scribes? Do I stand here with those forces that are opposing Christ? Or do I wait a minute? Jesus just came by. Jesus just showed up. I'll tell you where I want to step. I want to step the same place this man stepped. He left the multitude. He left the scribes, and he stepped into the atmosphere of heaven. It was at this moment that he stepped into heaven's atmosphere. Do I listen to the voices of doubt and unbelief? Do I stand here and listen to these voices that oppose Christ? Or do I leave this atmosphere of doubt and unbelief and step into a new place? Step into a place I have never been before. And it was here that this father stepped out from the scribes. He stepped out from the multitude and he stepped into heaven's atmosphere. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe. Notice heaven's atmosphere. The scribes are questioning. I heard this. I'm just going to throw this in real quick. I'll never get done. Throw this in real quick. Do you know who put the first question mark in the Bible? The devil, when he said, hath God said. He put the first question mark in heaven. Why? Because the Antichrist wants to oppose God. Notice what these scribes were doing. They were questioning him. Can I tell you this? Your first impression when it comes to doing the things of God is most times God. Your second and your third and your fourth are usually yourself and the devil trying to talk you out of what God wants you to do. In other words, God speaks to your heart and says, see that person over there? I want you to go witness to him. Who would put that in your mind? Do you think it would be the devil? But what's always our second thought? Was that me or was that God? Am I where anybody's living? Why? Because the devil wants to oppose. But Jesus says, if you can believe, all things are possible. And the Father cries out with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. How many times have you heard me preach that? I don't know, a couple dozen, hundred? Notice in this moment, he steps into heaven's atmosphere. And Jesus says, it's all there. And these doubts tried to trail him. They tried to carry over into the same atmosphere that Jesus is in. And this man simply cries out, Lord, I believe. Notice his first statement, I believe. And his second statement, but I have these doubts that are trailing me. They're trying to keep me. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus did more that day than just cast out a devil. I'm here to tell you, in that moment, in that time, he cast the doubt out of that atmosphere. He took that doubt and said, oh no, you can't be here. You don't belong here. You don't have a right here. You have no claim to this place. In this atmosphere, heaven rules. In this atmosphere, the king rules. In this atmosphere, I have dominion. So in this atmosphere, you've got to leave. And oh, by the way, you devils, you've got to leave too. The first, he casts out that unbelief. He says, sorry, you can't be here. And then he casts out the devils. Why? Because one man chose to step from earth's atmosphere and step into heaven's. I do not believe that you are here without faith. I don't believe that anyone here doesn't have faith. I believe everybody here has faith. How many? I'll just take a quick poll. I hope I get a unanimous decision. How many believe that God is real? That wasn't quite as unanimous as I hoped for. Let's try this again. How many believe that God is real? Amen. All right, that was more like it. I had to take a second vote. We believe he's real. And you at some point in your life have felt him. You have felt his touch. You have felt his power. You have felt his presence. You have felt God. But I believe that even in that, there is a measure of doubt that says, I know he can do it. Amen. Some of you have heard me say this before, but I don't know if he'll do it for me. I know he can heal, but will he heal me? I know he can deliver. But will he deliver me? I know he can fill with his spirit, but will he fill me? I know he can forgive sins, but will he forgive mine? I know he is able, but I don't know if I'm worthy. I know he is able, but I don't know about me. Help thou my unbelief. I wonder if we can just lift our hands all over this place right now. Somebody needs to begin to pray that right now. Jesus, help my unbelief. Jesus, help my unbelief. Jesus, right now. I believe, Jesus. I believe, Jesus. I believe Jesus. But Jesus, I have this doubt right now. I have fears right now. I have questions right now. And God, I'm just not sure. I want to pray for somebody right now. I cast out those question marks. I cast out those questions right now. I cast out that spirit of unbelief. I cast out that doubt and that fear that is not of God, that God doesn't want in your mind and in your heart and in this church. God doesn't want it here. He wants this to be a place where we step into his atmosphere. I know you can do it, Lord. But now I ask, will you do it for me? I know you've done miracles around the world. But God, I want you to do miracles, signs and wonders at 3544 Verner Avenue. That's the address here. I know you've done miracles other places, but God, I want you to do a miracle at 82 North Village. That's my house. I know that you can do miracles, but God, I want you to do a miracle when I'm in the grocery store. I want you to do something. I've got friends, I've got family, I've got children, I've got co-workers. I'm trying to hurry. It was the Apostle John who was exiled on the island of Patmos. His fellow disciples were martyred. Hear me. His fellow apostles were martyred. The church is under great persecution. And it seems as though the world around them is winning. Sound familiar? It's no different. Study the Roman Empire. Study what they were doing. It was worse then. It appears the world around them is winning. It appears the enemy of their soul is winning. It appears that Satan is winning. And it appears that false religion is winning. But in the midst of all of that, it was John who makes this great statement as he opens the book of Revelations. And he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Wait a minute, the world would want me to think that it's their day. The devil would want me to think that it's his day. But the last time I checked my Bible, it wasn't the world that created time. It wasn't the devil who created time. There was only one who put the world in motion and who said there's going to be a 24-hour a day. There's only one who said, sun, you go there, and moon, you go there, and darkness, you stand there, and light, you stand there. There was only one who said weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. There is only one who controls the day, and it was John sitting there on an island feeling defeated, who says, wait a minute, I may be personally on an island. I may have seen everything around me crumbling, but I don't have to stay in this day. He says, I stepped into the Spirit on the Lord's day. He said, I stepped into heaven's atmosphere. He said, it's there that I walked into. And it was at this juncture that John gets a revelation. He first gets a revelation of who Jesus is. But not just who he is. He gets a revelation. Who's in control of this thing anyway? We look at all those crazy visions and we look at all that crazy stuff. Oh, you wanna know what they're trying to do? I can sum up this real easy for you. Here you got a mortal man trying to describe an immortal God. What do you think he's gonna describe? You look at the book of Ezekiel, it's the same thing. God shows himself to Ezekiel, and we see all this crazy imagery, and we see all this crazy stuff. It was simply a mortal man trying to describe an immortal God. But he didn't just show him that he was in control, but he showed him what heaven's atmosphere is like. He got a vision of what heaven's atmosphere is like. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he dwelleth with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and he shall be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be there be any more pain. The former things are passed away. I don't know if anyone's ever heard that passage before, but I believe Jesus says, he said, I think it was in the New Testament, in somewhere around Thessalonians, he says, I make you a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm here to tell you that when you're born again of water and spirit, you have access now to another atmosphere. No more pain. The former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these are the true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Oh, watch this. And I will give unto him that is of a thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. I'm here to tell you, that's not just available in heaven. That is available down here on earth. Jesus said, if you want to be born again, he said, you drink, I have water that you don't know of. If you come after me, I'll baptize you with something more. I'm going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. I'm going to give you something to drink. You may drink of the waters that are on this earth, but they're simply earthly things. But if you'll drink from the waters that I shall give you, you'll never thirst again. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Once again, new birth. I can just about take you from Genesis to Revelations and preach to you the new birth. Just so you know, that is something that God wanted us to understand. Oh, I better hurry. Now watch this. You may be saying right now, but he says, no more death. Read your Bible. The last time I checked, who has the power over death and the grave? The Bible actually tells us that when I die, I don't actually die. I simply fall asleep. He says, those that are dead in Christ are asleep. You know what they're waiting for? They're waiting for the eternal alarm clock. Amen. They're waiting for that trump to sound. Yes. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Why? Yes. Praise God. Now watch this. It was Jesus, when asked to teach them how to pray, made this statement. He was not giving them some ritual that we are able to say over and over and over again, but he said, I want you to understand just what kind of prayer you have when you pray. I want you to understand just what I've made available to you. In other words, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in, everybody say it, as in, so in earth. In other words, heaven has an atmosphere that says no more sickness, no more pain. Why can I believe in healing? I can believe in it because what I gotta do is step out of my earthly atmosphere and step into heaven's atmosphere. And when I do, all the things of heaven are made available to me. I can be healed of all manner of sickness and disease. That's what Jesus did when he walked the earth. And he told me, greater things than these shall ye do. Amen. Now Peter and John went up together in the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." I want you to read this next phrase. And he gave heed unto them. I want you to look at that right there. What did it say? He was expecting to receive something. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." In other words, you know what Peter said? He said, "It's not of this earth."
That's right. Praise God. Praise God.
You're not going to get what you need based upon this earth.
But
you know what Peter was saying right here when he was saying, "I don't have none of that." In other words, he says, "I'm not walking in this earthly atmosphere like you're thinking. You're expecting me to hand you something. You're expecting me to give you something. But I want you to step beyond." And it was in this moment that they stepped beyond the earth's atmosphere. And this man got more than he ever expected. It was in this moment that he walked into heaven's atmosphere. And the Bible says that Peter lifted him up. And this man began to walk. He began to dance. And he began to praise God. He began to shout. He began to claim what God had done. This man did not fully understand what he was getting himself into. He did not know that day what was going to take place. It was just like another day, kind of like a Sunday morning. It was just like any other day when everything seems to be just the way it is. It's, you know, we come to church. It's just our thing. This is what I'm doing today. This is where I'm going. This is what I do. And that's a good thing. It was just like another day, like all the rest. He was taken to the temple gate and he was sat down. And there he began to beg. I don't know how much he had received that day, and I don't know how many other days he had been brought there, but more than likely it was something that happened on a daily basis. He would go there. That's where he would gain his livelihood. He couldn't work. He was lame. It was before the days of what we have today, where we can get help for this kind of stuff. This day they depended upon their society. And so he sat there and people were going in. And they would give him on their way in, and they would help him on his way in. And he sat there day by day with an earthly expectation. I don't know how many people had passed him by, but in that moment, there came Peter and John walking. How many times had they passed this man by? How many trips to and from the temple had they made? How many times had they already given to this man? These are questions we do not know. These are questions we cannot answer. What we do know, it happened at a time that was just like any other time. Hear me. It happened on a day just like today. It was the ninth hour. It was the time they always went to prayer. They always went. A good Jew went three times a day. And it was the ninth hour. And so this is just what they do. And Peter and John were going. They were going to the temple. Not because they were trying to be a good Jew. But they knew, if I go to the temple, there will be good Jews there. And I can witness. And I can still pray. They had time set aside. They had something set aside, and every day just seemed like any other day. But something happened on that day. The Bible says that this man expected to receive something, and on a day that was just like every other day, his expectation was met in a way that he never expected. Can I simply define expectation? It is an interest held by a person who may receive something as a request in the future, but has no enforceable right to it. In other words, I don't have a right to it. But I'll ask. My dad gave me this. I didn't go buy it. There's no way I'm spending that kind of money. But he said, Joe, try it. See how you like it. Guess what? I'm coaxing them right now. Because my dad always likes to get the newest one. I'm like, Dad, when you're done with that one, I have no enforceable right to it. But guess what I do have? I have an expectation that he's going to buy the new iPad Air. And I'm going to get his iPad 2. That's what dads are for. Watch this. It was in this moment of expectation that these three men left Earth's atmosphere and stepped into heaven's atmosphere. It was at this moment they left the earth and they stepped into heaven. Not literally, but the force that was surrounding them, the force that had the effect upon them changed at that moment. The moment Peter said, silver and gold have I none. Literally, he was saying, earth, you can't provide it, but such as I do have, that I will give you. There's another force that can provide it. And so I step into that atmosphere. In other words, let me just put it this way. If you don't expect anything, you will not be disappointed. If you come to church day in and day out and don't expect anything, you won't be disappointed. If you go into your time of prayer not expecting anything, you won't be disappointed. But if you expect God to do something powerful in your life. Oh, hear me. If you expect God to do something powerful in your life, you may be surprised at what you get. It may just surpass anything that you've ever expected if you just do it. Step into there and say, I don't know. Well, I just expect God that you're going to do something great. I expect to see my family saved. I expect you to change my life. I expect you to do something inside of me. I expect your presence to be with me. I'm here to tell someone today that if you'll step into his atmosphere with the expectation, you might be surprised at what you get, because it is said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I'm wrapping up right now. Let me break this down for you this morning. Exceeding beyond measure, abundantly more than your ability to contain, above, higher than anything you can see. In other words, he just moved it from where you can handle it. I can't see it. Eye hath not seen, nor ear hath heard. What the Lord has for them that love him. I'm trying to raise somebody's expectations up. Look, it's beyond measure. It's more than your ability to contain. You can't hold it all. This church can't hold it all. What God wants to do here, oh, I'm expecting this place to pack out. I'm expecting this place to be full. I'm expecting for your family members to come in here. I'm expecting these altars filled with people who want God. I'm expecting the baptistry full of people, Uncle Bobby, lined as far as you can see, who say, I want to be baptized in Jesus' name. Oh, it's more than I can contain. It's more than you can contain. It's higher than we can see. And it says this about what you ask. There's simply your words spoken and what you think. It is simply what you can expect. This is what God wants. Hear me, this is what God wants. Expect him to do something, but don't limit him in what he's going to do. Expect him to do something, but don't limit him in what he wants to do. In other words, just step into heaven's atmosphere and let God take care of the details. Walk into heaven's atmosphere. Say, I'm here, God. I'm here in this place. Right now, I'm having trouble even believing. Help thou my unbelief. Jesus, I want to walk in your spirit. God, I want your force to walk with me. I want your force to guide me. I want your force to help me. I can't quit. Let me tell you how you step into heaven's atmosphere. I really am done. This is my second closing. I really am done. If my dad was here, he'd have five. So I'm okay. Let me tell you how you step into heaven's atmosphere. Expect there to be guests filling this place. You want to step into heaven's atmosphere? You expect the next time you walk in here, there's going to be somebody new that you didn't know coming to this place. I'm just saying. You want to step into heaven's atmosphere? Expect God to move in such a supernatural way that it changes this church completely into something you haven't even grasped yet. You want to step there and pray. God, I'm expecting you to change this church. Matter of fact, here's what I want you to pray. Here's what I want you all to pray. But be careful. You just might get something. I want you to pray. I want you to change my pastor. And I want him. I want you to make him what he hasn't even been yet. I want him. I'm sorry, that might be kind of selfish, but I believe it was Jabez who said, bless me indeed. Enlarge my coasts. That may be selfish, but you know what? I don't want to walk in this earth's atmosphere. I don't want to walk and sit there and listen to the questions and listen to the doubt and listen to the fear and listen to the torment. No, I want to step into a place where I hear the voice of God. You know why? Because there's people who need him. You want to step into heaven's atmosphere? Expect someone to be healed miraculously by the power of God. Expect someone to be delivered from an addiction that has bound them for a long time. Oh, you want to step into heaven's atmosphere? How about if we all begin to pray together? God, there's some addictions out there. There's some people we know. They're bound by all sorts of things. God, I pray that you'll set them free. I pray that you'll loose them. I pray, Lord, that they'll come to their senses and they'll come to you. Come on, let's lift our hands right now. Let's step into heaven's atmosphere. Come on, expect someone to be baptized in Jesus' name. Expect that someone will be filled with the Holy Ghost. And maybe that someone is you. Expect it. expect that someone will find God in a way that hasn't happened before. Expect God to restore someone who has walked away. We have that testimony of people who have walked away. Pray, God, restore them. God, I expect you to. God, I believe. You know what? You know what? I'm done. I've got more. But you know what? The Holy Ghost wants to do something right now. He's letting somebody step into his atmosphere. Why don't we all just move there right now? The altars are open. Your seats are open. Begin to talk to him right now. Begin to cry out to him right now. Someone needs to step out in faith and say, Jesus, I'm stepping beyond what my eye sees. I'm stepping beyond what my mind sees. I'm stepping beyond. You know what I see right now? I see altars full of expectation. I see a church full of expectation. And I know this, that my God will not leave us. Come on, call out to him right now. Call out to him right now. Call out to him right now. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I don't want to see in my own eyes now. Jesus, help me to see you. Help me to see what you have. Come on, dude. You have families.
You are good. You are good.
What are you expecting right now? What are you expecting right now? Call out their names. Come on, if there's someone. Olivia had an expectation of prayer against cancer. And I believe cancer has to leave. I expect it.
You are good.